You're listening to WGBB 1240 AM and W240DF 95.9 FM Freeport, New York.
This is Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. I'm Katharina Vidi, and we have guest speakers here, Alex Solowinska. my friend Megan Camarda.
Hello.
And we just want to tell you that we love Jesus, and we love you too, listeners. And I just want to start with some great news, actually. 1240 AM is now going to be aired in FM, so now you could also listen to 95.9 FM. You could turn on your radio to 1240 AM or 95.9 FM and listen to us every Saturday at 10 AM. Yeah, awesome. And I also wanted to say we have an email. If you want to email any questions, concerns, anything that you have, it's listenup1240@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Any prayer requests, anything you have, feel free to send a message. And also our call-in number is 631-888-8811. If you would like to call in and be on the air, we'd love we're open to your questions, what you want to ask about the Lord and just anything in general, please feel free to do so. And again, that number is 631-888-8811. All right, so we're going to have an awesome show today, jam-packed, and I just wanted to mention a little bit, the opening song was so much fun. I was sailing away.
Yeah, it was a very, remind me of like being at the beach, like, you know, on vacation, which I hopefully will go on vacation soon this year for 2017.
Yes.
Go somewhere nice and tropical.
Be in a boat sailing, right?
Yeah, or like on a cruise ship or something.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, no, just Jesus is our friend, and I love how in that song the singer just kept repeating that Jesus is my friend, and he is the way, he is our love, our life, our light. And Barbara will be here in a little bit, and she's going to talk about how love was born at Christmas time, and that Jesus is our gate to heaven. He's our way to get to heaven. And I really thought of this song was great because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the famous line from the Bible. So, and yeah, let's start with my friend Alex here. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you.
Yeah, it's very, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're fine, okay. Don't worry. So Alex, she is a student at Stony Brook. And I met her at Stony Brook through the Catholic Club. It's called CCM, or Catholic Campus Ministry. And Joanne Bonacore is the chaplain there. We love her. She's awesome. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like a mother figure to all of us. And I always tell everyone who I talk to when I go places and I speak about things, and I say, you know, college is important, but also finding a faith-based community is really important, and Joanne definitely fosters that, and she kind of makes a home for us. So, you know, if we're away at college, we actually have a home to kind of come to, and all of you know, us at CCM, we're like a family, so we're really close, and, you know, even if we graduate, we're obviously going to keep in touch, and I think it's so important because I went away this summer to another institution, and that knowledge that she taught me, you know, it kept through, and it was like, you know, Sunday, you know, I need to go to Mass, and it definitely, you know, was very important. So she makes a life lasting impact on everyone there. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And I like how you said it's like a safe haven because,
oh, yes,
the room is just decorated so nice,
right,
and it's cozy.
I mean like the candles, I mean, you know, Joanne's in her office when, you know, her candle scents are like all over the hall. So
yeah, you hear it from death.
Yes. And then, you know, if you don't have, you know, if you just, the candles aren't there, you know, just the Holy Spirit just guides you to a room. So it's like you're not going to get lost.
Right.
So
that's like how Doug, our friend, his family is Lutheran. He grew up Lutheran,
right,
and he kind of stumbled into the Catholic Club. And I would love for him to be on the show also. and he just became Catholic, actually, not too long ago.
Yes. Oh, wow.
That was very exciting.
Interesting,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he would attend prayers and stuff,
wow,
with us and hang out and do service events. And then he, by the end of his time at Stony Brook, after 4 years, he became a Catholic.
Nice.
It's just really wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah, he's so nice, too.
They're all so,
everyone's so nice.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if I would have gone through Stony Brook without all of them, and Joanne, and also Marianne.
Sheridan.
She's amazing. I mean, she spends a lot of time with us, so definitely.
Yeah, Marianne, she is the director of young adults,
yes,
for the Diocese of New York, and she organizes events and just to get young people together of the Catholic faith and to spread our love for Jesus. And she's very fun and animated, and she cares for us so much, and it's just such a blessing having her. And so I know we were talking about Joanne and CCM, and how did it help you in particular get through college? I know that it could be rough, and I know we went through it.
Right.
You know, stressful times with the studying and everything. So how did it help?
So basically, I also stumbled upon CCM, really. And it was very, you know, I met Joanne for the on my first day of college, and it was just such an amazing, you know, kind of connection that we made. And also I met a few members of CCM there too. And I just kind of kept, you know, going there and praying and kind of, I guess, you know, fostering my faith and enriching it. And but, you know, during my first semester at Stony Brook, I became very sick to the point that I had to withdraw from classes. And so I was, that was kind of a setback for me, you know, and so I was hospitalized and everything. And so then once I got back on my feet and I had weeks of physical therapy with that, you know, before I started back up in spring, I kind of sat down with a few academic advisors and they're like, oh, you know, your transcript looks really bad. You have W's on it. Like, you have no grade now. I don't think medical school's really going to look at you in a good way. And so I said, you know what, thank you for your advice, but I think I'm going to trust God on this one. And so I kind of, that's what I did. And so I think God kind of pushed me more towards CCM. So I became more, even more involved in it. So I would be there every day, you know, masses and everything. And I think that's what helped me definitely get through that tough patch. And I think Joanne's definitely a big part of how I ended up doing so well in college and kind of being able to also spend so much time with CCM there. So
that's so amazing. Thank you for sharing. I really liked how you trusted in God and you kept moving forward and persevering, and God perseveres in you. You know, He's with us through every step, and you give a little and God gives you.
Oh, he gives so much. Once you put your trust in him, I mean, it's been a journey. Let me just say that. But it's been a wonderful and beautiful journey. I mean, you know, I know with now it's like college applications for seniors and even like for seniors in college, it's graduate school applications. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was rejected from a bunch of programs and I was like, oh, no, like I'm not going to get to medical school. I'm not going to get to my dream. But then I kind of let it go and, you know, kind of let God do the rest. And I mean, what he has done, I mean, like, it's just, I can't describe it because it's just like, I was never expecting this, but, you know, God, his timing is so perfect. So, you know.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So now you're going to be getting your master's at Cornell, right?
No. I still have to finish up, and so, yeah. But it's...
Master's is
right.
In your plan.
Like, sure, yes, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And... Joanne, like what you said, was such a big help for you, and right. I like how you said she's a mother
yeah,
duck.
I kind of say that, like, we all waddle to her, because that's what I do all the time, so you definitely, she's...
That person to talk to.
Right, and so one of the buildings at Stony Brook that we had CCM in, they had to close it down for renovations. And I was like, no, like, I was so upset, and I said to Joanne, you know what, I will fundraise as much as I can to help, you know, us find, like, a little spot, because it's so important. It was so important for me, but I feel like it's so important for the whole CCM as a group, and we're, like, a family, so everyone's kind of taking care of everyone, because in Stony Brook, especially since it's such a big campus, you know, having that little, small, you know, place to go to is so important, so...
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So you help fundraise. I know.
No. I didn't help. I was just saying.
Oh, you were saying.
Yeah. If, like, we didn't get them.
If we didn't get a spot.
Right.
I'll help you.
I was right. Like, you know,
let's
we got it. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, now I think. So, the room got moved to the library.
Yes. Yes.
So that's exciting. And actually, Stony Brook has a chapel too in our old building, and now in the library.
Yes, yes.
So there's the Blessed Sacrament. Yes. There is Jesus in the tabernacle, which I think is such a huge blessing.
Oh, yes.
When I found out, it happened in my last year of when I was there. I graduated in May of 2016, but it's just such a great blessing. Joanne would tell me that people would just kind of linger and go into the room, and it's just such a quiet, nice, peaceful place.
Yes.
But with the Eucharist, with Jesus there, it's just so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And special, you know, that.
That's where I study all the time.
Yeah, you get extra brain power.
Some there God you go. Power.
Yeah. Yes. God power. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, Megan, did you want to share anything about, did Alex's story touch you in any way? Or
no, it definitely did. And I can go into, for myself, you know, personally, I mean, it started, you know, during my, I think it was my first or second semester of college, and I felt like at that point I, you know, I drew closer to God, and I, you know, got closer, and just by what I was dealing with at the time. And you know, I feel like as I've gotten older, you know, I've developed more of a relationship with God compared to when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So I actually like grew closer in my faith. And you know, it's not, you know, a lot of people of our age group, our generation, kind of fall away from it, so to speak, and I actually grew closer. But I mean, at the time, I, you know, what I was dealing with, I was just, you know, very, really stressed out. You know, I'm in college, just trying to balance like my classes, and you know, me personally, I do get overwhelmed very easily. So you know, I go through like, you know, states of like, you know, anxiety and stress and stuff like that. And
right. And
I just remember one day we were at St. Catherine's in Franklin Square and St. Catherine's of Siena, and I think it was, I was getting out of one of the masses, and you and the youth group members were outside doing something. You were supporting some type of event, or you had like a table set out, and I was like chatting with you, and you introduced me to some of the members, and everyone seemed like so sweet and so kind, and like almost like you guys were like a family.
Yeah.
And I just, that right. really like it, that I loved it. I can't explain it, but you know, I want to be like, I want to be a part of it. And you kind of, mm-hmm. at that point, you told me like about the Morningstar youth group and when they meet and things like that. And because I said, oh, I would like to maybe come to one of the meetings, and you know, you were encouraging me, and then from there, and then I went to the first meeting. Of course, like the first meeting you go, and you know, it's like awkward, and like, you know,
lot,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's because it's a new environment, right. You don't know. Yes. And but yeah, now it's been, I want to say, I think it's been like 5 years now.
Yes.
5 years now since I've been a part of the group.
2011. Yeah.
Yeah, since mm-hmm. 2011. So it's crazy, like, you know, it's been so much time has gone by. And you know, I go when I can, and you know, I've been helpful with supporting the events and the events at the church, and I just love helping out and you know, connecting with everyone. And but you know, during the last 5 years, just going there, you know, it kind of helped me grow closer to God, and based on the discussions that we had, and then, you know, over time, then we developed the young adult group, mm-hmm. which is like really awesome, mm-hmm. because we're reaching out now as we're older. We're like, now we're past, almost like past college years, but like we're, you know, young adults. Just having that group for our age group is really good, and I would love to see more people come and get involved. And
right, yeah. Yeah, it's so the youth group, we meet every Tuesday. It's
the regular,
yeah,
Morningstar.
The Morningstar group, it's every Tuesday from 7 to like around 9, and it's kids in high school age.
Yeah, high school age, yeah.
Yeah, around high school, and there's usually discussion, fellowship, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament,
right.
and the rosary. But it doesn't have to be in that order, but that's usually the order. And yeah, the young adults meet every Thursday.
Every other Thursday.
Twice
a month.
Twice mm-hmm. a month, yeah. And we gather in fellowship and prayer. Hi, Barbara. Hi. Good morning. So Barbara came in as well, so we have more people. Yay.
Woo.
So yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like college students, they like lose their faith. Like some college students who transition from high school
during that time,
right? And mm-hmm. a lot of I know my parents were like, oh, you know what's going on, and you know when I told them about CCM, they were pretty like shocked to almost disbelieve that there's this kind of group on campus, and I think that definitely kind of if you see people your age doing the same thing, you kind of also
follow that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it definitely like makes you feel more comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wonderful. And I thought of a quote from the Bible that goes along really very similar to what we've been talking about. And it's from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11. And the Bible says, the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare and not for your woe. Plans to give you hope and a future." And I think that God has been working through Catholic Campus Ministry at Stony Brook and the Morning Star Youth Group and all of us to gather us closer to Him and to help us persevere in the faith. And
Joanne is, she's definitely like very getting involved and teaching us the ways that mm-hmm. we can increase our faith.
And there's prayer times during the semester, once a day usually, just hanging out. The Newman Club is every Monday night.
Yeah, right. Definitely looking into graduate schools. I'm kind of seeing, what kind of faith community they have on campus, and kind of seeing if I could, have that kind of same one where I go next.
Yeah, that club, right?
It would be important. So important. Very important. Probably the most important thing in Stony Brook is CCI. No one takes that away.
No one could take God away. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. So I just wanted to introduce Barbara and Father Peter.
Hello.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, very welcome.
Yeah. And, Happy New Year. It's the New Year's Eve, but not quite, but.
Right.
And so Barbara is a spiritual director and counselor of Living Waters Catholic Counseling Center in Melville, and Father Peter is the pastor of St. Francis of Assisi Church in Greenlawn, New York. And just before we start, Barbara is going to be speaking about Christmas and the Lord at Christmas time. As we know, we're still in the season of Christmas. Of celebrating up until the baptism of the Lord. It's Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
And so she's going to speak about that. But first, we just want to put on a song here, Joy to the World. But let's see. First, we'll see if that can happen. But Megan, do you just want to share a little bit about your faith in the Lord and how you got closer? I know you said you got closer.
Right, as during my early college years, I started to grow closer in the faith, and just attending the young adult meetings at St. Catherine of Siena, and going, praying on my own time, every night I pray, and definitely when, I'm going through like a hard time and things like that, I definitely reach out and I speak to the Lord, speak to God. It's just something that as I've gotten older, it's something that, that helps me, and it helps me get through life and through everything that goes on, and learning to have more faith in things. And sometimes I still struggle with that, and I'm still trying to get through that, and have more faith and trust God more. So that's something I'm still working towards,
trusting
in the Lord and trusting in God.
So Barbara, do you want to
wanted to ask Megan, was there like one moment
a moment
when
that
you just got it?
I'm trying to think back. Yeah, I'm trying to think of that special moment.
I know you told me one time, well, I'm not sure, that the youth group really helped you get closer to God.
It really did.
I guess maybe it's a little different question than what you're asking, probably.
Well, more of a specific.
Yeah. It could be any kind of a right answer, really. Maybe there wasn't a moment. Maybe it was a process, a gradual understanding or dawning right on you. You know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just great to kind of, you know, think about those things
right
historically in our own history.
Exactly.
Because then we can use them to go forward.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I'm just having a little trouble thinking of it at the moment. But if it comes up, I'll jump right in and share it with everyone.
Like, you have to get, I guess, you have to really be desperate in order to really kind of open and kind of say, I think God, I think, you know, I need your help now.
Yeah. So or that he's trying to tell me something.
Right. And you're kind of
right.
Like, you have to kind of open up.
And exactly.
Willing.
And realize what's happening and what's going on.
I think there has to be like this. I know for me it was, you know, it was kind of hard for me to have, you know, a situation where, you know, I had to withdraw from school.
Right, right.
And that kind of, at that point, I was like, well, you know, mm-hmm. God, I think I'm not going to do this without you. And I really need your help constantly. And ever since that,
right.
I've been praying.
Yeah.
It's been happening.
Exactly.
So,
Yeah, I think she hit the nail on the head. We have to be desperate, you know. I tell parents sometimes that's when you get to know the Lord,
mm-hmm.
when you're desperate about your kids and you're mm-hmm. scared, and that's when we get on our knees. And, you know, it's always about relationship with Jesus,
right.
You know, and that's what's so comforting, because his trusting him, you mentioned trusting him, Megan.
Right.
And I think that's a lifelong process. I always tell people 15 minutes after we're dead, we'll still be trying to trust God, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's a process, and mm-hmm. it's about doubt, too. Doubt's okay. You know, St. Paul tells us with his faith, there's doubt, because you don't need doubt if you have faith, right?
Right.
If you had perfect faith, the way you think of faith. But all we need is the faith of a mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
because that's what Jesus tells us, just a mustard seed of faith, because what we're really doing is depending on his faith. You know, it's Jesus' faith we're counting on. He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us all the time. So, you know, the journey of trust is very convoluted sometimes, but each step we take, as you said, reinforces the next step.
Right.
So we're relying on the Lord's faith. We say, Lord, come and help us. It's your strength. We're relying on his strength, not on mm-hmm. our strength. Mm-hmm. Is that what...
Do you want Father Peter to...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, what I have over here is Pope Francis's document on families. All right, and there's a section here that says the challenge of crises. So I know here we are young adults, you're not married yet or whatever, but I think the Pope has a very sympathetic heart, a very intuitive heart, and a lot of the things he writes are not dry theology, but rather, you know, lived experience and lived gospel experience. But the challenge of crises, look at this one. The life of every family is marked by all kinds of crises, yet these are also part of its dramatic beauty. Couples should be helped to realize that surmounting a crisis need not weaken their relationship. Instead, it can improve, settle, and mature the wine of their union. Life together should not diminish, but increase their contentment. Every new step along the way can help couples find new ways to happiness. Each crisis becomes an apprenticeship in growing closer together or learning a little more about what it means to be married. There is no need for couples to resign themselves to an inevitable downward spiral or a tolerable mediocrity. On the contrary, when marriage is seen as a challenge that involves overcoming obstacles, each crisis becomes an opportunity to let the wine of their relationship age and improve. He likes that image of the wine gradually improving, see, it's with age, you know. So the love of a couple is supposed to gradually improve, and the taste and experience of it is different. Couples will gain from receiving help in facing crises, meeting challenges, and acknowledging them. Faced with a crisis, we tend first to react defensively, since we feel we are losing control or somehow are at fault. And this makes us uneasy. We resort to denying the problem, hiding or downplaying it, and hoping it will all go away. But this does not help. It only makes things worse, wastes energy, and delays a solution. Couples grow apart and lose their ability to communicate. When problems are not dealt with, communication is the first thing to go. Little by little, the person I love becomes solely my mate, then just as my father and mother and children, and finally a stranger. So the Pope is really writing a lot about family life very sympathetically, and I'd recommend folks getting a copy of this book, The Joy of Love. All right, it's there's lots of stuff about it, but now I just realized that there are two young adults here, and I've been looking around for a while to set up a young adult coffee house. Okay, so I've renovated the basement of the rectory already. Okay, this place is ready to go. I mean, it's not that huge, but, you know, I mean, with the right person in mind. So I don't know if you could give me some advice about where to proceed from here, because young adult ministry is famously difficult, and you think you have something, and all of a sudden it disappears.
I think it's so important, though, because I think it's that kind of time where we're kind of still a little confused.
Right.
And I think we need that kind of group, you know, with other adults, so we could see, you know, each other, mm-hmm. and we can kind of, you know, talk it out. And I know, like,
not feel alone.
Right,
exactly.
Right, because a lot of times, you know, I know my aunt always says this, you could lose everyone. And that's what I felt like. I was losing everyone that semester. But you never lose God. God is always
right
there. So you could lose everyone, but God will always be there. And I think that a lot of times we feel like we're losing everybody, but mm-hmm. we're not really. But God mm-hmm. is always there, and we kind of forget that a lot of times. And I think a youth group kind of puts that all together. And I think it's such an amazing thing, a youth group, yeah.
And when you're talking a youth group, are you talking usually in high schools, usually in parishes, it's high school groups. But you guys are a little more
young adults.
Right,
young
like adult.
More.
Adults or youth
right.
groups. Like but, that kind of, I think it's a very good kind of like transition.
Right, right.
That's mm-hmm. To mm-hmm. adult life.
To yeah. sure,
exactly.
maybe have two, or like a youth group in a parish that also has a component of the young adults.
Right, so they can kind of.
Yeah, grow into it. And I love the image of the wine and the maturing. That's so beautiful.
Full of the little examples and little turns of phrase that get you to know that he's a real pastor, Pope Francis. His heart aches for people who are sad or in trouble or wandering or hurt. And he wants us to reach out in the name of Jesus to them. That's really what this is, really this is all about. He recognizes that families are in trouble today, and you know, they need the help of the gospel. But anyway, like I say, I did bring that thing about the coffee house. So if anyone has, you know, a thought about that, you can get in touch with me somehow, and I'll show you the place, and you can give me an idea of how we get started. Okay. I'm the pastor at St. Francis in Greenlawn, so you can reach me right through the parish. 757-7435. Leave your name, and I'll get back to you. Believe me, I want to hear about how these things work.
You could email Listen Up. You can call in. That our hotline number as well, 631-888-8811. You could leave any great suggestions for Father Peter for us. And we'll be thinking about it and definitely keeping you in prayer. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
That's so exciting.
We agree, that's the Huntington area, so, you know, just to mm-hmm. be aware of exactly, and not far off the expressway. So if people really get excited about it, it's accessible.
Right.
It's not huge, but you'll see it. It's nicely laid out, I think, and could be a little spot. Separate entrance. It's got its own little, you know, little restroom and everything, so it can be a, you know, it's kind of a little island unto itself there,
like a,
you know,
safe haven, mm-hmm. like what we were mentioning. Oh, yeah. Were you thinking once a month, Father?
Well, I don't know. It would depend. I mean, if it got to be every Friday night, that would be okay, because we have separate entrance and so forth. They wouldn't be disturbing anybody.
So Friday.
I mean, it's a mm-hmm. small group, but, you know, the most you'd get down there is 20, you know, or so, I think, you know, but, and it, you know, depending on how we lay it out, but you know, please give me some word on this one, okay? Lift it up to the Lord in prayer and give me mm-hmm. some word on this one, okay?
Great, yeah. And I also thought of the quote, as Father Peter was saying, the Lord makes all things work together for our good, and how in crises and families and different struggles that we have, that the Lord pulls it together and for our good, and makes the couple grow stronger, makes the person grow stronger in his love, and that's what it reminded me of. And so Barbara, do you have anything else that you would like to share?
Just want to jump off on what you just said. You know, when we talk about that scripture so often, we forget the second part. Mm-hmm. We all love the God works everything to good for us, but then we leave out for those who are righteous and love the will of God. And I think we have to remember that's the fine print there. For those who live in the will of God, actually, we have to be so sold out to God's will that we're ready to, we'd rather die. We'd rather die than step out of God's will. That's how radical we have to be, sold out to the Lord's will. And I think that, you know, if we get that part straight, then we know that, yeah, everything is going to work for our good. But if we have other things going on, like I've been talking about unforgiveness for a while during Christmas, if we have any kind of unforgiveness going on, we're not in God's will. You know, that's not what the Lord died for us, a horrific death, in order that he could bring everyone to himself. Mm-hmm. So it's still the Christmas season. I want to urge anyone out there who's, if you have any little part of you that is in a forgiving process, but you haven't been able to complete it, ask God to take you to the next step. And actually, I don't even want to go to bed at night without knowing if there's someone I haven't forgiven. And I always ask the Holy Spirit, and I encourage others to ask him to search your heart so that you know if there's any unforgiveness within you. And really, be in fear and trembling if you're going to sleep without asking that and without forgiving, because you are going to really reap such amazing blessings, not only for the other person, but for yourself. You'll free yourself of the prison of bitterness and unforgiveness. And it's in God's word, forgive us our trespasses, mm-hmm. as we forgive those. Now, do we believe that or not? As we forgive those, forgive us, which is why I say, don't go to sleep without asking the Lord who you need to forgive. I mean, it's either we're in this or we're not in it. You know, Jesus is either Lord or not. And I think Katarina had a question that someone called in about using jewelry and stuff like that for healing.
I did have a question about that.
Yeah.
It's not really, my question was, I had a question about jewelry. I know it's common these days to have people advertise like stones or healing stones or positive energy bracelets mm-hmm. and what have you. My question was, is that good to wear? Is that good to...
No, absolutely not. And that's why I kind of brought it in
now.
Because it's mm-hmm. way out of God's will. Okay. And, you know, there's a difference between really science and magic.
Mm-hmm.
And if we understand the science part, you know, if we understand it's the difference between astrology and astronomy, for example.
Okay.
You know, radiation is really a medicine, but, you know, if we said that radiation was a magic trick, then we're putting it in the category of occult. So what I'm trying to say is it fits in with God's will, because sometimes we're out of God's will and we don't even know it. And there's so much New Age influence right now.
Right.
And it's very confusing, because they talk about angels. They talk about the God in them. They believe in the immanent God, which is the God within them, but they really don't believe in the transcendent God. And we have a God who's both immanent within us and transcendent beyond us. So you have to be very careful, because we can get pulled in, especially people looking for spiritual insights can get pulled into all this stuff. And a lot of times the word spiritual, like I have clients who come and say, oh, I met this person, they're so spiritual, and they gave me this bracelet, or they gave me this ring, or they told me about wearing crystals. That is not in the spirit of God, okay? That's against the first commandment. The first commandment says, thou shalt not have strange gods before me, and amulets and crystals and everything else, that's all strange gods. That's giving power to something like a false idol, like, mm-hmm. you know, a golden calf, something that is not God our Father.
Right. We have actually somebody on the other line who's calling in, so we... We just want to see, just let's take it from here.
Sure.
Trevor, is the person still on the line?
Hello?
Hello. Hi. This is Listen Up. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Danny. I was just flipping through the dial, and I noticed that you're a religious-themed radio station.
Right.
I have to admit, I'm not a very religious person myself, but I've always admired the fellowship. Religion seems to give for people, including you know, some of my friends, and it seems to provide like a form of community for people that is absent in other places. And I guess I should talk about why I called. I have a friend who's suffering from an addiction.
Okay.
And and she says that like she's in the process of recovery, and she says that she often feels weak and needs some strength to be able to stay on the straight path.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is the appropriate forum for this, but I thought maybe you might have some suggestions for her in order to. Like sometimes she says she feels lonely and needs support.
Right, right. Sure, we could definitely provide. So there's Danny on the line for, and he has a friend who is suffering from an addiction, and she needs strength. She's in the recovery stages right now, and Barbara is actually a counselor from Living Waters, and she helps patients and clients all the time, and we definitely can help you. And he's just asking for some suggestions. She feels lonely, and me personally, Jesus is our greatest comfort and friend, and he will definitely help us through anything. And I just want to open the floor to Barbara and any others who have help. Mm-hmm. Wanna?
Yeah, Danny, you mentioned a few minutes ago. You started mentioning community and how important that is in fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing here. Just tell me a little bit about this person. Is she currently in his 12-step program?
She is. Let's see. First of all, she's in her 20s. I guess she's finished with a 30-day rehab program.
Okay.
I think it's her second try. But it seems like she's crossed the threshold where she really, really does want to stay clean and on the narrow path, which is important, I guess, because some people love their lifestyle, and but this isn't her. I mean, she's she wants to proceed with her life and feels like her years in addiction were wasted. You know, she has a family to take care of as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take care of, but who could use her strength now. As a teenager, she was also a victim of abuse from her stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be related to the drug abuse that came afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's probably been trying to, or maybe not trying, but has been addicted for many years now.
Mm-hmm. So she's currently in a rehab program at this moment?
She's currently finished with her rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a counselor at the moment with, it's a program where she attends, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There are some counselor sessions.
Yeah.
And I believe that there are also group sessions where people can gather together and talk in a group about their own situation.
Yeah, well, it kind of fits in with what we're talking about, because the 12-step program is definitely highly recommended because it centers on God. You know, the first step is turning everything over to God. That's believing my life is unmanageable and that only a higher power can help us, and that higher power is, of course, God. So it's a Christian-based program, even though, you know, many faiths attend it. And I know that I had a very wise mentor once tell me that every Christian should be in a 12-step program, because it's basically the tenets of our faith. And as I said, the first step is realizing the power of God and that it's a supernatural event. I've worked very often with addiction most of my life, and it's a supernatural event that allows a person to really be free of it. It's something that we can struggle in, and people just try so hard, and they put so much effort into it, but unless they bring in the supernatural component, which is the Lord, it's not going to work. So she has a real hunger there that needs to be met, which also fits in with what we were talking about a few minutes ago about young adults and coffee houses and stuff like that, because this is the kind of place that I would love to have to refer people to. And this is one of the sadnesses of my life, my career, is that I have so many young people who are, you know, God drops into them that desire, and I have no place to send them. I honestly don't have any place to send them. We need young adults to rise up who do believe in the Lord, that who could be there for these people and teach them, really, not so much addressing the addiction, but talking about the relationship of Jesus Christ with them. So, 12-step program, if she has a Christian counselor, that's great. But, you know, I'm really recognizing the need that you're recognizing, and I'm saying we're hoping to build something like that up even at St. Francis right now.
Okay. Oh, interesting. I was thinking she could attend formal congregations as a means of, I guess, establishing, I guess, a basis of community for herself. Because, you know, when she's feeling alone, then that's when she feels weak. And there's also, I guess when she slips up and falls back into use, I guess she feels a hopelessness, too. That this mm-hmm. is a cycle that she can't break out of.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want you to tell her is that she didn't waste her time. Addiction is an amazing process that God can use to make you become a person that you never could have had a chance of becoming if you hadn't been addicted in the first place. So it just could be that the Lord is using that as a boot camp to prepare her to be walk into her destiny and to be the great person that He's calling her to. You know, the Lord allows us to go through many, many things in life. He doesn't put us through them, but He allows them to happen. So never, ever consider any tribulation or trial or any kind of weakness or fault to be a waste of time. Everything is used for our good, and the Lord uses that to bring us higher in His kingdom and to give us a job that we wouldn't have had otherwise. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, no problem. And you could email listenup1240@gmail.com with any other questions, concerns, and God bless you, and thank you again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep. Have so everybody stay evening. In touch with the
you
station
too.
To, learn,
thank you.
To learn more about our coffee house and these other the other things that are going on this time of year. I just was so aware that we have the end of the Christmas season, and we have, you know, some of the events of Jesus' boyhood talked about. Yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Family, so you know, as we're in different positions as far as family goes, each and every one of us, but don't forget this is a time to rebuild families and to, you know, forgive one another and to be reconciled. What does it say here at this? The treasury of Mary's heart also contains the experiences of every family. This is from the Pope, which she cherishes. For this reason, she, that is Mary, can help us us understand the meaning of these experiences and to hear the message God wishes to communicate through the life of our families. So it's not such a stretch to talk about the Holy Family, because we're all meant to be striving in that direction. We may be far from the solid strength of a Joseph or the greatness of Mary, you know, but nonetheless we have models and role models to work on in this. So this is yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Family, and the story of Jesus being lost in the temple, that was a crisis for them. It was not a crisis in the same way that we would face, but it was a crisis, and they overcame it by trusting God.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think of, like, if a kid gets lost at the mall or in the store, you know, that's a crisis for us. So I'm sure we could relate to God in that way. Any parent, that's like their worst fear, losing your child, you know. And so we could definitely relate to the Holy Family and call upon Mary and Joseph to help us. I just wanted to go back to... I know we were talking about addictions and struggling and different things like that, and I think this show will be great to have people come on who have had conversion stories and have struggled with addictions and how the Lord has mm-hmm. Has helped them overcome it. And I mean, personally, in my life, I'll just share a little thing. I know sometimes we all struggle with, like, overeating, or, you know, the food is so good, and sometimes you could be addicted to overeating. And I just felt one time the Lord convicted me. There was a Bible quote that said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I believe it's from Matthew, I think. And that just really touched me. And then from that moment, I would just kind of reflect and ponder on that word. And I was like, that's it, no more. Like, I want to have a structured lifestyle that the Holy Spirit will help me. The Holy Spirit gives us self-control, gives us those fruits of the Holy Spirit, that guidance, that love, that knowledge. And I just would like to encourage you, this is the new year, we all have resolutions that we want to change
many
and
resolutions.
Be better. many, some few. definitely rely on the Lord's supernatural help to help you get, you know, that resolution, that it could be so simple, like, oh, I need to floss my teeth every night.
Go to the gym in the morning.
Have
that smile at everybody.
Smile at everyone, yes. Barbara said, yeah, definitely.
And it's really hard to actually, like, once you have I'm going to have a new, like, I'm going to do this. But then, like, you know, after 2 months, it kind of, like, dwindles away, and it's so hard to kind of, like, maintain, but I think you need to kind of just, like... make sure that you kind of maintain whatever resolution you have.
Right.
The way to do that is renewing our mind in Christ, mm-hmm. which we have to do every hour sometimes, but constantly asking the Lord to, you know, help us delete the thoughts that are negative, any kind of thoughts of self-doubt or anger at ourselves, unforgiveness at ourselves. Those are all ego things, and those are all very negative thoughts that, you know, our ego or... you know, the dark side plants in our head just to get us crazy and keep and shut us down. So we have to renew our mind in Christ constantly and ask the Lord, okay, Paul says, do not think on dark things. Think about the noble and the high and the lofty things, and think about the things that lifts your spirits and lifts your heart and brings you joy. I used to have, I had a neighbor, a very elderly Italian neighbor who was probably the closest thing to a saint I have ever met in my life. And she would say to me, I'd say, how are you doing today, Nancy? And she'd say, oh, I'm doing much better. I woke up feeling so sad, and then the Lord just comes and lifts me. And I thought that was so interesting. I was always wondering, because I had like 5 kids and all kinds of crazy things in my life, and I'm like, how does that happen? You know, where does that come from? And she'd say, yeah, oh, he just comes and lifts me, and that's how he does it.
Oh, that's so wonderful. That's such a nice image, such a happy image, a nice neighbor smiling and just,
right.
You know,
right.
She lifted you up.
She lifted me up, and it took me years to figure out how to do that. But I'm telling you guys from experience, the Lord will come in and allow his thoughts to be held captive in our mind rather than held, us being held hostage by the negativity of the world.
Right. Amen. So I just, we're just going to be wrapping up here, and I just wanted to maybe end with a prayer, Father Peter, thanking God for this year, and you know, thank you, listeners, thank you, guest speakers, and yeah, we could.
Sure. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and love. We thank you for the year that is closed, which has been a difficult year in many, many ways, yet a year of your blessing and your anointing, a year of your presence to us, a year of we have seen your power and working in our lives. Help us to trust you more and more. Help us to come to you not only in the crisis, but in the good times too, to prepare for things to come. I ask you to bless all the efforts that are going on. Bless Barbara's ministry here. Bless these young people who have discovered you in their relationships with other young adults and in some of the gatherings that they've had on campuses and in other places. And a special blessing for WGBB, especially this one-hour program, which is so special and so unique, Lord. Prosper it in the new year, and bless us in our lives, our families, our hopes, our dreams, and in our closeness to you each and every day of this new season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just wanted to end the song. It's going to be an Italian song, actually, Tu scendi dalle stelle, which means you come down from the stars. And the verse is, you come down from the stars, O King of the heavens, and you come to a cold and icy grotto. O my divine baby, I see you here trembling. O blessed God, how much it must have cost you to love me so.
That's so, the Italian silent night.
The Italian silent night.
It's kind of like that.
God bless you. Thank you. See you next time.
E vieni in una grotta fredda al gelo, e vieni in una grotta fredda al gelo.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.